up?
Yes, yeah, I think something's wrong with the
projector. Do you have a meeting?
Yeah, I have the address. Wait a second.
I could definitely be
it. It could be it.
Great, John. And then Elijah, are you ready to do the roll call?
Guillermo Arroz. Stacey Austin.
Here.
David Barnett.
On this one.
Here.
Tim Brandors.
Yeah.
I'm here.
He's actually here for the
room. So. Yeah, no, it is going here.
Right. Let's try checking that out.
Tim, you there? Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, it shows on my screen that he's talking, so.
Okay, so we just, if it's possible, we'll try to get on.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm trying to do. Okay. If you like, you can use the audio on yours for now, especially since we can use it.
Okay.
If you
can. They can hear me.
Yeah, they can hear you. Okay, cool.
No, they can. They can't
hear.
I can't
hear
them,
you.
Though. Oh,
yeah. Recording in progress.
I'm Laura Burke.
Okay. Let me see. I turned it off.
Greeting.
Here.
Alexander DeSorbo.
I'm here.
Can you lower down on your laptop a bit more? Sorry. Yeah, can you lower the laptop? I'm sorry.
Lisa Petrov.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, perfect. We cannot hear anything. On Zoom, we can't hear anything.
Richard Schumacher?
Yes.
Rogers is here.
Cindy Shia?
Yes.
Les Simon? Dorota?
Trisha, now it's here.
Is it Sarzenowski? I think that's how you say it.
Shoshanowitz, it's here.
Yeah, she's here. Glenn Weisenberg. Sun Hee Yoon. Okay. Hey, Erica, just wait 1 second. Is the mic back on?
You know my mic, so I believe you can turn it up on yours and there won't be no echo.
So if I'm talking, can people on Zoom hear me?
So we're not going to get sound out of this. So the best thing is to mute this one and have the sound, because we were getting reverb back when the mic was, so the mic was open on this, but then we were hearing it out of there.
Yeah,
Zoom cannot hear.
Projector, yeah. But since I muted myself, there should be no echo again. So yeah, you're good. You can push that up.
I wonder, okay. So Elijah, maybe if it's possible to bring your laptop up to
your phone. Yeah, I can do that.
It sounds like we're just going to have some audio difficulties today because something was unplugged in the back. I don't know what. So we're going to try to do this and still be effective. So I'd like for someone to raise the motion to approve the March 22nd, 2022 DEI Advisory Group meeting minutes. Thank you. Second. Thank you. Everyone, did say aye if you agree. Great. Nays? Wonderful. I'd like to start the meeting tonight with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place that many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Are there any public comments? Mindy?
Yep, I continue to object that you open the meetings before public comments would be land acknowledgement.
I thought that that was your preference. So if you want me to do it after you do the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm happy to do that.
No, I'd like to have a vote whether this committee would like a land acknowledgement vote, because we already voted that we wouldn't do a Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
So when you continue to do this, it's just kind of messy. But anyway, I will stand up and again do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberties to be a.
Thank you, Mindy. And so, just as a reminder, I've talked about this a couple of times, why I think it's important to do the land acknowledgement. One of the reasons is because this is a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. And one of the things that we are doing is making space for those who have been minoritized. And that does include the Indigenous people. And it is a way to acknowledge some of the work that we're doing here. Yes, Mindy.
Exactly how many Indigenous tribes that you mentioned actually lived here?
The four that I have talked about in the land acknowledgement.
Give me some facts to tell me that.
I don't think she has to do that.
Point of order.
Yeah. Yes, I can send you the information.
Let's continue with the agenda, please.
Yes, Bob. Thank you.
Personal curiosity.
Yep. Thanks. So we're going to go to unfinished business. I am very excited to be able to have Rashida Graham Washington here and Dot Lambshead Roach. They have agreed to come and be with us for a few sessions to do some equity work with us. And Rashida hails from RGW Consulting. Dot is one of the founders of Race Conscious Dialogues. And I want to read their profiles. We only do this once, but I do think it's important for people to hear your full bios. So Rashida Graham Washington currently serves as the CEO of RGW Consulting, a boutique consulting practice that invites partners and clients to reimagine and generate wonder and curiosity around the community and organizational development, economic development, and equity through coaching, training, consulting, and facilitation practices. Additionally, the Chief Experience Officer of Live Cafe and Creative Space, a transformational experience cafe in Oak Park, Illinois, Rashida emphasizes the significance of social enterprise as a key component to connecting and transforming communities. A board member of the Community of Congregations, an organization committed to engaging diverse individuals in urban atmospheres around intentional living. Rashida is passionate about the obliteration and systematic challenges facing traditionally marginalized people and groups. Mrs. Graham Washington is integral to the mission of liberating issues of injustice. As an experienced educator, Ms. Graham Washington has taught at Proviso East, Proviso West, New Trier, and Oak Park, and River Forest High Schools. As a new leaders trained administrator, Ms. Graham Washington served as principal in the Academy of Urban School Leadership and was the founding school principal for the Plato Learning Academy, a CPS contract school that is still in operation in the Austin community. Ms. Graham Washington also served as an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction with an education management organization in Chicago, where she was responsible for the oversight and direction of 9 elementary secondary schools and their administrations. Currently, under the auspices of RGW Consulting, Ms. Graham Washington has worked with the Oak Park, Downers Grove, Glen Ellen, Aurora, Skokie, LaGrange Public Libraries, as well as the Village of Glen Ellen, Skokie with Skokie Cares, and the Oak Park Township as governmental agencies with a focus on DEI. Additionally, Rashida has worked with Race Conscious Dialogues, the Nova Collective, as they consider the space between the organization's ideas, way of being, and its actual current state. RGW works to strategically support closing the gap in between. Finally, Ms. Graham Washington has also worked with multiple foundations, boards of directors, elementary and high school districts, and several global denominations on strategic planning and restorative practices and equity, while also working with Skillshare in New York City, Teton Science Schools in Wyoming, Rewire in California, Southern Methodist University in Texas, Duke University's Leadership Education Department in North Carolina, and other clients on similar work nationally. As an executive coach and co-author of Soul Force, 7 Pivots to Courage, Community, and Change, Rashida focuses her efforts on initiatives that touch on subjects of equity and appropriation, contemplative mindfulness, peacemaking, and reconciliatory practices, as well as organizational leadership, strategic development, and organizational change. She speaks at conferences throughout the country on these topics and is a bit of a world traveler, having studied the lives of people and the context of communities and organizations in the Congo, South Africa, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Canada, Israel, Palestine, and of course, the United States. Rashida is an integral stakeholder in the organizations such as the Oak Park and River Forest Community Foundation's Leadership Lab, the Race Conscious Dialogues, and Community of Congregations in her spare time. Rashida's neighbors enjoy her, $4, 3 of whom are now adults, reads, writes, paints, cooks, listens to music, travels, and dabbles in the study of languages. Welcome, Rashida Graham Washington. And I'd like to read Dot's bio as well. Yes, Mindy.
I'd just like to get on the record the questions that I asked before. And like I'm so happy to listen to you, Rashida. I listened to your TEDx. It is a fantastic presentation. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I just don't understand the committee's process for selecting speakers. I don't understand what budget you have.
So the DEI committee.
No, listen to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that you had left.
Please.
Go ahead.
Please stop bullying me.
I don't think she's bullying me, but go ahead.
Yeah, she always stands over me and, you know, tries to intimidate me.
I don't think I do.
So that. I'm saying to you, I don't understand where you got the money. I don't understand what your calendar is for education. I understand what your interests are to give this side of the aisle.
Can we be respectful of the chair and of our guests?
We'd like to have a multitude of points of view, and it really is not happening right now. So my two questions again are, welcome. I'd like to hear from you, and please give us a whole entire calendar of events.
Okay, so as we spoke earlier, Mindy, we are. Yeah, let me just finish this real quick. Yeah.
Can you get to the microphone because we can't hear you?
Right, that's what I was about to say. So
no, I don't want to do that.
Here's what it is.
I want this on the public record.
Okay,
about how nonsense this is.
Ready?
Yes.
So, as you are, very much aware this is an ongoing process.
What, to what, say, what's the I'm process? Sorry, that's
please,
what I,
you ask people not to cut you off. You don't cut me off. We talked about the way we do things. We're setting things up. It's a progressional thing. So there is no full year-long calendar right now. And if you have suggestions, we will continually take those into account and plan accordingly. At this point, this is what we have planned. The people that are here to hear what we have planned. Appreciate it. If you would, we got your questions of record. We will intend actually respond to you.
Love it.
But for now, we'd like to continue on with the meeting. And I can tell you, I'll get you the answer that you requested. Fair?
What, the money part or the calendar part or both?
Both.
Thank you.
And if you guys need a vote that support you all, let's vote and we support what you guys are doing.
Thanks, Fasad.
You're welcome.
I'm going to talk about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course we will.
So we're all on board.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
I
would love to have the 40.
Stop interrupting her.
I would love to have the four votes that are moderate get overwhelmed by all of you.
I want to hear the
39 people. That's wonderful to me. That's really inclusive. I really love that. That's really inclusive.
I can honestly say when you cut people off, no one listens to anything. So let's take it down a notch and listen to what everyone has to say and do what we plan for this meeting and actually have this meeting.
I want to listen to Rashida, please.
Okay, so then let's do that.
So I'm going to give Dot's lamb's head roaches a bio now. So Dot Lamb's Head Roach is a founding member and runs operations for the Race Conscious Dialogues, which engages people who are white on topics related to identity, privilege, and power, then provides tools for effective participation in racial justice efforts. Dot also focuses on local work for reparations and collaborative initiatives in Oak Park, the community in which she also resides. As a young adult, Dot studied history at Tulane University and went on to teach high school social studies in Chicago. She holds a master's degree in leadership studies from the University of San Diego and is interested in how deconstructing whiteness works within the larger conversation of racial equity. Today, she resides with her husband and three children in Oak Park, Illinois, and loves music and live music and being at the beach. So if everyone can welcome Rashida and Dot. I think actually, I and I are going to sit over here on the side, so we'll give you the floor for about an hour then. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for having us and for the time you've taken to introduce us. It really is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. Obviously, I'm Rashida Graham Washington. And tonight, I'll let Dot introduce herself if you have more to say about who you are.
I'm Dot. Something in my bio probably that I didn't say is that I'm also a duper, right? A dear old Oak Parker. I grew up on the west side of Chicago and moved to Oak Park, and my mom was a teacher at Longfellow and OPRF class 97 to date myself. But I'm back in the community now with my three kids. And like many of you here, feel very deeply about my community. That's why we're all here.
And so tonight, what I think is most important as we talk about the potential for a series of connections is to have a connection. Many of you probably know that I was the proud owner of Live Cafe and Creative Space in Oak Park for many years. And this work by way of RGW Consulting has sort of taken over my life in a way that doesn't allow me to be present to the coffee shop anymore. But the work I did there was really to build the kind of relationships and community and mutuality and reciprocity that I hope creates a level of permission to be present to you in this way. I don't think that anybody from anywhere should necessarily do this work in community. So I was born and raised in the Austin community and went to high school at Proviso West in Hillside. And so Oak Park, River Forest, Forest Park, Maywood, Bellwood, Berkeley, all those places are home for me. I also own a home in Berwyn myself now. And I think that something really magical happens when you first have relationship and community with people before you start saying and doing all the hard things together. So I hope that that really speaks to at least my desire for the kinds of relationships that I think we can have as we do the difficult work that we have to share together in this realm. And I know that you all have done quite a work on developing some guidelines for dialogue. It feels like you have done that hospitality piece so that when you welcome people into your house, that they feel like something happened to precede their coming. And so I've taken a look at some of these guidelines on dialogue for dialogue. And I'm gonna kick it to Dot too, because I know that's important to you as well.
Sure. We certainly are not going to read through the laundry list of the whole things. They are all there for a reason, especially number 14, trust the process. And that can be the hardest thing of all of them to do. Other ones that stick out for me are I statements, assuming, you know, best intentions. We usually say stay away from assumptions, right? Because assumptions can really get us into trouble. But that is something that we can all do, right? We can really genuinely, you know that we are here with good intentions. Flip side of that is the impact piece, right? And so I was glad to see that up there as well. Taking responsibility for impact is important, right? Impact is greater than intentions. If someone is hurt, if something that I do is hurtful to someone, I do need to take responsibility for it, even if I didn't mean to do it, right? Speaking our discomfort, right? That's great. Monitor our airtime, confidentiality. That goes for Rashida and I as well, right? It's the Vegas rule. Stories stay, learning leaves, right? So we're not like, who said this and that, right? What is the learning that was gleaned from our time together in a particular moment can be a really important part of this. What we can do, the reason that this is so helpful to have this up here is that we can all use it as a touch point as often as we need it, right? That we can hold ourselves to these shared agreements. We share them. We've agreed to them so that we can move forward. DEI conversations are clunky. They're uncomfortable. They're messy, right? We are a diverse group. Not just racially, we're diverse in many ways, right? We always say diversity of thought. Of course, across all of our different facets of identity, we share a commonality in that we care for our community and we care about this, that's why we're here. But we are a diverse group of people, and that means that we are going to have as many folks as there are here. That's how many different ideas there are on how we should hold these conversations and how we should move forward collectively. So I'm glad so that they're posted here. So there might be times that that Rashida or myself or any of us can point to these, right? To hold us all accountable.
One thing that I would just add that really resonated with me from the list of guidelines is this notion that we all have these different groups and subgroups that we're a part of, and that none of us is really a monolith. So there are things about my social identity that you can probably pick up just from me sitting here, but for as many of them as you can probably pick up, there may be as many that are much harder to detect. And they are no less a part of my identity, and some of them may be more a part of my identity than what you can actually see. And that we really only get to mine those narratives when we have a proximity and a trust and an integrity that makes a person like me feel comfortable sharing what those nuances in my social identity are. I think that's true for everyone in this room. And so, hold on one second, Mandy. So there is a TED talk called The Danger of a Single Story by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. And she really speaks to, I know Mandy talked about my TEDx, she's way more amazing than my TEDx was. But she really speaks to this notion, thank you. She really speaks to this notion of how just when you think you can tell who a person is, you get to know them a little bit more and realize maybe you don't know what side of an issue they're on, and they might even be on more than one side of an issue. And so my hope is that as we consider taking this journey together, that we would consider it from the perspective that there are layers to how we engage and interpret the work, and that that's true for all of us. The last thing I'll say in full disclosure before I defer to you, Mindy, is that I know that you're developing an RFP for some work that is upcoming and that hasn't been developed yet. And I want you to know that it is possible that I will consider it. But what I want you to hear in that is that it is possible that I will consider it, that I'm not here tonight with a full understanding of what my response to it will be at all, but that it does feel important in full transparency that it is possible that I will consider it. Okay. And then Mindy.
We're making fun of each other about the TEDx, but your talk was amazing, and your focus on overcoming fear was, just amazing.
Thank you.
So I love that.
Thanks.
But I think it's a complete fraud that we're recording this conversation, and then we say what says in here stays in here. No, this is available to the entire community. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to, so I find that a little obnoxious. No, Erica, please don't shut me down. And so I really don't, I think it's funny that you say that that's good, because it's not good. We are, we need to be a transparent community, and these are public meetings.
I didn't understand that.
So I don't understand even why we have that on there.
I think that's ridiculous. May I respond? I think that's a really great point. And I also think that I can also not go to my group of girlfriends who might not have been listening and talk and gossip, right? So I think in that spirit is how I'm
So what we should modify that number to be is not gossip about what happened. Is that what you think?
No. So actually, we had talked about this previously when we were setting up the guidelines together. That is there, our DEI committee. So that is there for work when we are especially doing small group work that isn't in the recording, Mindy, when we're working together on certain things. And so if people share out through that, you're not necessarily, bringing that to
Chairperson, may I speak?
Yes.
I think in this situation, as in most cases, when we have guests, my first responsibility is to be courteous. My second responsibility is to be a good listener. They have something that they want to share with us. I invite each other to just listen.
Yes.
And if they give us the opportunity to have questions and answers, that's the time when we begin to address the issues, if I may.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, for that comment.
And we do hope to have time to take, I don't know if we will, but we hope to have time to take questions at the end. So there might be a time where we say, please hold our questions until the end so that we can all move forward.
Well, then give us all the permissions that we're going to be able to use, because as you say, each head here is a world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to establish an order in order for that to dialogue to take place,
mm-hmm.
if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Can I move to hold questions until they finish with their presentation?
My second. My second.
Yes.
All right, we do have a quick, with both Rashida and I having worked in education, we're gonna bust out a little bit of
some
activity, right? So this is going to be anonymous. Please do not put your name on the note card. If you need a pen, I can happily pass them around. And this is gonna be for our friends, our community members at home. They're at home as well, if they wanna go ahead and maybe just grab a quick piece of paper and pen.
You can also, if you are on Zoom and you want to participate in this activity, you can write to, the River Forest under the chat, write to River Forest. If you want your comments to remain anonymous, write directly to River Forest. And then that way Dot and I can see your remarks. No one else in the Zoom will be able to see your remarks, but we will also see your name. We're committed to keeping that to ourselves.
We have those too. All right, so again, do not put your names on these. Do not put your names on these. It is important for us to be able to speak fully, even if it's through a note card. So on the first side of the note card, and I'm gonna speak while we're also.
And I'll put the directions in the chat for the people who are on Zoom.
The first side of the note card, write down what's going well as it pertains to this group for you. Anything that maybe you feel hopeful about, right? Anything that you maybe feel positively about as it pertains to this group, right? And our work. And then the other side will be things that we have anxious about or we're unsure. And this is optional. You can leave anything blank, right? You don't have to do this. There's no grades. Yeah, you could do you or you could use emojis, right? You could do like a smiley face side and then like a frowny face, like a positives and negatives, right?
Oh,
The first side is gonna be, what is something that you're feeling okay about or looking forward to with this group, or something that you feel positively about, something that you feel hopeful about as this journey in River Forest and this group specifically continues? What's going all right?
Thank you.
On the other side, if you haven't yet done so, again, I'll read that question. What might be something or things that you feel anxious about, that you feel unsure, tenuous?
Regarding the committee?
Yeah, this is all about just before, Or any, it's not just about, per se, the committee members, right? It can be the process, it can be the goals, right? It can be that we feel unsure about the space that's being held.
anything that we might have some anxiety or, I don't want to get into like fear and trepidation, but you know, some real wonderings that that we have about moving forward with this group, you know, and with our task at hand. And take another minute to finish if you have not yet done so.
Anonymous from the group.
What do we all think about me reading some of these back out loud?
Only you're going to give us the outcome at the end in some way or another. Otherwise, it's all, you know, shown individually. I wouldn't like to.
So I guess
we can definitely, well, regardless, we were going to definitely summarize these and take these learnings, right? We're not doing anything. We don't know who you are. We don't know who said what. And truly, we would not be sharing this outside.
One of the things I think is important to say is that the why for this exercise is as much for us as it is for the room. It is, in my estimation, not best practice to just have some series of talks pre-canned and predetermined to bring into the room for 1 hour sessions with you that we've decided in some quiet coffee shop somewhere. This helps us to understand before we get into what my grandmother would call the meat and potatoes, does what we think in terms of content align with what you're expressing as your felt needs for these sessions? So part of what we want to do is glean that from you and then go back to the table and say, how do we align those moments to what you're asking for so that at the end you've actually gotten the workshop training experience you're asking us for? Yes.
So given that, I would love to hear these cards. And I mean, they're not identifying who read it.
Mm-mm.
I don't see what the harm is.
You get to hear what you said, we get to hear what you said, and then we get to align the future sessions to some of what you articulate, okay?
We can also do that next time, too.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Oh,
my reason for saying what I said was that personally, I want to know where the group is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't hear it in a, you know, daily life way,
mm-hmm.
I continue to hope that we are in a better position. Sure, than
sure.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read a couple. I think we can I know that even walking into space that this group has already been through a lot together and will continue to do so. I promise I don't know who to say this. It is helpful. And actually, you don't either, right? It is actually helpful for us to connect in this way. I have a positive one here. Feeling positive about the sincerity in what we say and hear each other say. Some positives. Many members remain committed to the work. This group has moments of unity of mission where we are all moving to actually move the DEI needle. Something that's going well is that the group chairs are patients. Another positive is working with other River Forest residents to open and expand ways in which the village meets the needs right a variety of people. Lots of good ideas and enjoy hearing from the group. All right, so some things that we might feel anxious about. And that's not all the positives. Anxious, entrepreneurs. I would like for more space to be available for minority voices in the group and for the agenda work to be more smooth. Wondering, is the time worth it? A couple members regularly derail the meetings. Another unsure, uncertain process and unclear outcomes. The frequent disrespectful behavior by one of our group members, it's very disruptive and rude. Nothing's going well in this committee. Concerned that the majority of the village has no idea what's going on in this room and or what the goal or the process even is. Let's go back to the past. What's going well as it pertains to the group? So collectively overall, we're working to make River Forest more equitable. I have created some meaningful relationships through this group. We're finally breaking into subcommittees and having guest presenters. This one's going well. Good topics and nice people to work with. The commitment from Erica and Ken, and also a second positive thing is that the community of River Forest has even sought to address DEI. I made a mistake about what was a positive or a negative. I'm new here. I can't have it. All right, some other concerns. I joined the committee. I think we don't have an RFP prepared to get a consultant. We have a very narrow mission to identify barriers, and we are talking about all sorts of things at these meetings that don't seem to be connected. Lack of structure. The process is too much, too early. other concerns. Not all members respect the group and the work or the leaders. They seem to only obstruct progress. There tend to be disruptors not interested in moving forward, but only wish to stop progress. Maybe the group chairs need to adhere to the rules that improve efficiency and prevent rabbit holes by individual members. Also, something else that was not going well was poor attendance by members, likely the ones that are not here. Another anxiety, the people who are here just to slow things down because they don't like change or doing things that are good for other people. See, now I've gone at the very end, I've gone and gotten myself confused here. Not everyone is ready for this work, and some may be resistant. I'm still hopeful that this group helps me make better connections to my community. We're not all on the same page. Feels like we are taking a long time to start. Doesn't feel like the conversation guidelines are followed or enforced. A couple more. There are some members that seem to have agendas. It's taking too long to get to action. Concerned we will lose members that we need. A positive, I'm learning ideas that I had not heard or thought of before. Now it's cropping up in all sorts of places, TV, my daughter's education, etc. Concern is rules for how the group operates. Are there bylaws? Not being clear on how to handle disruptions. Lack of diversity in group and disrespectful behavior from a particular group member. Great and patient chairs.
That's it. That's us. There's a lot in there.
Thank you.
So I think the one of the most useful aspects of that activity is that we get to listen for what is resounding, what you get to hear over and over and over again. And then we can take those things into account and even consider how to mitigate challenging circumstances, as well as how to discover new ways of being, if not develop solutions that continue to enhance the places where there is strength and success. I have my own thoughts based on what I just heard from the cards, but I think we're also still building some trust between us and within the room amongst you. So we're going to take another little baby step tonight. And I'm going to ask you, in terms of some of the things that are working well, and some in terms of the positives that you heard or strengths, what seemed to be resounding? What did you hear multiple times?
And God, if you could put that question in the chat, I want to try to continue to engage Zoom,
because we're just so excited to continue to engage Zoom. What are some things you heard multiple times? So in the chat, in the strengths, the things that were working well, as Scott was reading them, some of them came up more than once. What were some of the ones that came up more than once?
Chairs were very patient.
Patient chairs. Mm-hmm. Yes.
A general sense that things were moving forward.
That there was some progress happening, right? What else did you hear? Yes. Yes, that there are relationships, and even in some cases, that may not have been built any other way, right? That there's relationship building happening. Yes.
I was going to say the same thing. I heard relationships to mm-hmm. With this caveat, what I didn't hear was that there was any progress in our actual mission.
Sure.
We haven't got to any kind of benchmarks at all.
Yep.
I came on the committee late in December, so I wasn't here for this or apparently other educational meetings. I think the committee started when in September.
In the middle of this.
Yeah. And we have hit first base.
So,
I have to say.
Okay.
That's what it seems. That's what it's
about. Very broad diversity of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for sure I am. I'm looking more for a center.
Yeah.
Maybe reduction mm-hmm. of the number of things. I mean, right from the beginning when I read the title of this advisory group, diversity, equity, and inclusion,
mm-hmm.
maybe we can resume and summarize those into one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is personal change of attitude. That would be more real to me.
Yeah, changing the way that we see each other in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
I heard that people are glad that this is something that the village is taking on and that they feel good about the subject matter at hand.
That this is the good and right work.
That it feels mm-hmm. good to them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That members want to remain
committed. Yes, that there is commitment and we want to continue that commitment. Okay, some of you all have already started to meander into challenges. It's where the fun work happens. So what were some of the challenges you heard more than once, sort of over and over, resoundingly? Yes.
I probably need to have more, like in meetings, a little bit more, I don't want to use the word heavy hand, but some, you know, adherence to the rules and not going off. I mean, this is diversity, equity, inclusion. We want to hear from people.
Sure.
We want to be, and the chairs are very patient. I mean, very patient and very open to all different ideas. But at some point, you know, if you're going all over the place, sometimes we need a little bit more of a sort of somebody to be comfortable saying that we need to stick with the rules and we're just going to go to the next point on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. So both in mission and in model, we need a little bit more honing or clarity around mission, form and function, right? What are we here to do and how do we plan to do it? I'm going to offer one little thing here. These were adopted in June. How long has this committee been in existence?
So that was our first meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to contextualize time, you already know where I'm going. Friends, it's been, 9 months? Don't be too hard on yourselves, right? Part of a lot of this work requires relationship building, trust building, consensus building, and you all have articulated that you've even had some derailing happening in your sessions and in your midst. There was also one that got named as a strength over and over, and that was the small groups and how much more productive they are. So you've actually identified a strategy that works and makes you productive, right? So I want to highlight that because no one mentioned it, but it did come up more than once. And you've all been in these trainings about forming, storming, norming, and people say performing, but I say transforming, that all of that takes time. And the person I really respect in the work, Tim Hoekstra, used to live in River Forest, and he would always say, Rashida, these things take the time they take, right? So don't underestimate the value, but also the time that it takes to build the relationships that are necessary to do the work. RGW, my practice refers to that as stage zero work. It's the work
you have to do before the work so that when you do the work works, right? It helps to mitigate some of the derailing and off-ramping that you've been experiencing. It feels like you're having a little bit different experience tonight as a result of the way that you're proceeding with the work. And this is what probably should be happening at that at this juncture. So give yourself a little bit of space to grow in that.
Because we were just given these things to read.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't practice them. We didn't, you know, check each other and tell each other off. So you're doing it. But number 10, number 6,
mm-hmm.
and this kind of thing. In so, other words, I grew up as a human being more when I was part of simulations, games, Monopoly took me a lot, more so than books. We haven't done any of that. We haven't played with each other.
Yes, I love that, Bob. What does it mean for us to embody these words on the page? One of the sessions that we are entertaining sharing with you is, what does it mean to share to have a common and shared language and understanding? It's one thing to hand out a glossary of terms.
Yes.
It's another thing to embody them and to understand them in the same way. If you ask me, we will work with awareness of status differences within this group. If you ask me what that means, it may mean something very different than what it might mean to one of you. So we share number 4, like somebody gave it to us, like Bob said, and now here it is with us. But what does it mean? And what happens if we don't? Like, okay, I did it. Now what? Right? And are we giving ourselves collective permission to hold each other accountable? Not by calling each other out, because nobody likes to be called out, but in the spirit of integrity, mutuality, and reciprocity, to call each other in, which is more of a proximity, relationship, intimacy way of saying that I know you, and I don't know this to be you. We all right today? Because I know you enough to call you in or to call you up. This is our collective standard. We agree to it. We're somehow now living beneath it, and we're going to call you up to the standard we've all committed to, which is totally different than calling somebody out, right? So these are the kinds of activities, practices. Bob called it play. I'm going to steal that now and tell everybody we're just playing. It's fine. But to practice some of these behaviors. So this is what you just said. You said, we need to hone our objective or our mission. We need to hone our function, how we do our work. If you started doing those things, you would then begin practicing these things, and it would allow you to play with your list while actually carrying out your objective or goal or mission or function. It's at that intersection that your personal growth and transformation happens, while you're still working towards the mission and objective you're trying to accomplish. That's why tonight was so important. This is not about shoving a series of sessions down anybody's throat. It is an opportunity to mine for what authentically is in this room, genuinely, including the challenges and the hard parts, naming them and starting to articulate in transparency and authenticity how we respond, not react, to when those hard places are in our midst, and to call them out as just as they are. It just is. We have disruption. It just is. It happens in every organization and community everywhere. So how do we talk about it as isness, right? We all felt this, saw it, experienced it. But everybody just kind of looks over here, it doesn't change it. But to call it up and call it in allows us to respond to it and still maintain the mission and goals and hopes and community and relationship that we're after.
And I've gone on like I do. Do we have time for questions? Are you going to be
back for the next 3 or 5 hours and the next 3 or 5 meetings? Because this is for long.
Yeah.
I just don't see us being able to coalesce in just 1 hour that you
did. Exactly.
So Scott and Rashida have agreed to do 6 sessions with us over the next few months.
How many did you say?
6.
Say it again.
I'm sorry, 6.
6. My ear is plugged. It's getting cleaned in the morning.
The thing that I didn't hear at all of us saying, what is the place for reflection? Mm-hmm. Say before the end of each meeting, mm-hmm. Erica. Let's tell each other what was, good that happened tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we go home with hopeful.
Sure, yeah. And that could easily be a part of your how, but I think that's what you all are working to develop. And our hope is that over the next 5 sessions, we will be able to work alongside you to develop some of those things. And what you experienced tonight is pretty much in line with the how of how we would facilitate the process. We didn't come with a bunch of slides and a bunch of bells and whistles and things and handouts, and because really those things that you're mining for are already within this collective. And our facilitation goal is to help unearth or pull those things up so that you can share in them together and codify them in a way that you collectively understand. That's the goal of our time with you. Any other questions?
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Scott and Rashida. Really appreciate it. I definitely think that even just the simple task that we did today was really good for us to do as a group. And we so look forward to you all coming back next month.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you all, and I know you have other business to, to do as you carry on this evening. We will scoot out. Thank you.
Okay. So as I'm coming here, I think the next item on our agenda is the readouts for each of the subcommittees. So if someone can move to subcommittee updates, to do subcommittee updates, we'll get a motion in a second.
So moved.
Okay, great. I'd mentioned the last 2 meetings. I'm seeing some faces, they're like, what? For just some subcommittee updates. So our plan is to have during this set of meetings, the ones where we have education, half be education and half be subcommittee readouts. And then on other days where we're meeting, we're doing subcommittee work together. And if you don't have something prepared, don't worry. Maybe just a couple of words. And as I mentioned before, it doesn't have to be, you have fixed the world already in the 1 or 2 meetings that you've had. It just is letting everybody know what's going on. And we wanna make sure that we leave enough time for the RFP submittee discussion feedback. Who's in that group? Do you know about how much time you want on that?
We were thinking no more than 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
15 minutes to do what? I didn't follow.
Seven groups. You don't expect in each one of these times 7 to report something.
Well, it's more like a status update. We've had a meeting, and here's some of the things we're discussing, right?
Yeah.
So
it's not.
each committee can take a whole lot.
Yeah, we're just looking for you. So if we're ending at 9, and we need 15 minutes for RFP group to do theirs, maybe each group just take 3 minutes at the most to go through their work.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing?
Please.
With regard to one thing that was raised to me was ensuring that, you know, all voices are heard within the committees. With regard to either, you know, a status update or the note taking or whatever it is, you know, it's okay to say, you know, we were discussing this and, you know, some members felt this way, some members felt that way. You don't have to just stick to one. So it's, you know, all it is saying the discussions that happened. It's not saying that, you know, we are consensus on everything that we're about to report. That's okay, because this is what it's all about. So.
Okay. So the employment and HR group.
This will be less than 3 minutes. This will be really fast.
Not that we didn't work hard.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't give the wrong
impression.
Yeah. There we go.
We've been working very hard. We decided in our first meeting that we really needed to sit down with Lisa and, you know, kind of get a lay of the land for hiring practices and policies and collect that information. But Lisa's apparently been on a well-earned vacation. So she just got back today. So Richard and I are going to figure out what day we can meet with her.
Okay.
And then I think you asked me, well, we're working on it.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. That's a good first step,
yeah.
Especially with this. Lisa takes care of so much of that. So
we also shed 2 or 3 members.
One for sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure about
the second. Okay. So, I know that, okay. So I know that the group generally is missing a couple of people. So if we're able to get people to apply, we'll make sure to even it out for you all. Yeah, great. Thanks for letting us know that. Purchasing and suppliers.
So that's Farzad, Sharon, Chuck, and myself, and I'm John Grant. Just looking at the meeting minutes, which are sort of very wide.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what he's got down here is improve our procurement process to include diverse suppliers and potentially save money as well by going through a competitive bid process. So, and then we talked about diverse suppliers can be ethnically diverse, veteran-owned or woman-owned. And then another thing, well, it's not in our minutes, but something that we talked about was, you know, maybe coordinating with Maywood on this, you know, attempt at this procurement diversity. And then also we, you know, thought that looking at like a couple, I actually reached out to Wilmette and Elijah had already done so for this, you know, so we're thinking the same thing, which is good. But looking at other villages and how they are doing this, it could be helpful. And then also Lisa, you know, Lisa, we're assuming, and Lisa seems to know, you know, so much of how things operate in the village. So we are hoping that she will fill us in more of the nuts and bolts and details on how things are operating and give us an idea of where we can try to make suggestions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of good ideas in there. Sounds like that's your next action step too. One of your next action steps is to get a meeting with Lisa. Mm-hmm. And as you were going through minority business owned, women business owned, I would suggest too, there are LGBTWQIA plus owned and veteran owned businesses that have similar processes that might fill this Supplier diversity.
Sounds great.
So, yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. The housing group.
So this will be brief. Also, less than 3 minutes. So we've kind of struggled to have, I guess, the entire group together on a call to be able to meet, to kind of lay out goals, discuss goals for the group. In the past two meetings, some of the discussions we have with the members that are present, we're really trying to avoid taking the scope of the committee too broad. We want to try to keep it focused and narrow. So we were discussed starting with the comprehensive plan, village approved, I think it was in 2019, to kind of use that as boundaries to kind of frame up what the housing committee, what the scope of the committee would be.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little slow. Of course, it's very difficult to get schedules to line up. I think Ken and I know something about that. I think that makes sense to look at the comprehensive plan. I would also urge you to look at the affordable housing plan that was approved a year ago. By the village board, just to reflect on that. And I recognize that there is so much under this housing, what was broken down in our discussion notes for housing. It may be worthwhile to be broad and just get a general sense of a lot of different topics and then from there narrow down. But I trust y'all with what you're doing. So, yeah, Bob.
A point of correction. I was participating in Zoom, not listed anywhere, having been involved in that committee. But Kirk, at that time, designated chairperson and I were talking a lot about the need we have to have staff in the village related to this particular concern to inform us of what are the current commitments and rules that the village is operating under in regards to housing.
Yeah.
And then be able to not reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Affirm some things that add others.
Maybe. Yeah. I believe I am your liaison for this, if I'm not mistaken. I know for some housing topics, they come from the state. And so I'm happy to send that over to you. And there are definitely folks within the village staff that you probably should connect to, and there might be data that you might be interested in. I think we talked a little bit about that. So getting that information over to you sounds like another good step as you do work. So thank you for that report out. Community outreach.
Hi, so this is Dorota. So we met, the entire group met on the 22nd, Anya, Rosie, Tina, and myself. And we really focused on the primary task of, our subgroup. And we decided, or we agreed that initially it would be communication to the community. So updating community on what diversity and inclusion is doing, what are our goals, and keeping everyone in the loop, kind of. But we also have a bunch of questions to the chair of our subgroup. So I don't think it's you, Lisa. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's me, Ken Johnson. So
okay, awesome.
I was gonna reach out to you guys, give you time.
Yeah, we have more questions than answers, but yeah, in general, we decided that initially it would be communication and updating the community, River Forest, you know, the people of River Forest, what we are doing, that we are doing something. Maybe it's not as fast as we expected it, but, you know, it's coming along, and we are not just sitting and not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah, and I imagine for the first several meetings, there probably will be more questions and answers.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. So I'm glad that those are bubbling up for you, Dorota, and the group. And yeah, I think Ken will be able to connect with you on those items. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fabulous start. I really do. So thank you for that, for sharing that out.
Thank you.
Intergovernmental relationships. Do you have anybody from that group?
I am actually from that group. My name is Lisa Petrov, but I was not able to attend the last meeting.
Okay.
So I couldn't bring you up to date on what had happened.
Were you able to attend either of the meetings, Lisa?
Yes. The last time when we dedicated the meeting to the subcommittees working together, we were working together, and we did parse out a lot of sort of finer details of what the matrix that Excel that had been created. So, but I don't know what they did on the 22nd.
That's completely fair. Yeah. You weren't there. Yeah. I think what that highlights too is Brian and Elijah have let you know about meeting notes and how we need to send it over to them because of Open Meetings Act. I encourage you all to, when you send those over to them, to copy your entire team. And so that way people have a little bit of an idea of what happened, and then they can ask questions, or you all can fill each other in at the next meeting. Governments and DEI review framework. David, do you have an update? David's on the line. I can see him, but he's mute. Okay. Abigail.
Yes,
I missed your name.
No, that's okay. It looks like our unofficial chair, Tim Brandhorst, has dropped off, but we have had two meetings, and we've had good discussion, and I think, and I actually don't feel like I'm the best one equipped to convey what we've done, but I think we too focused the broad ideas into different actionable areas, and we had some good discussion about what a model for the group could be going forward. And I think we would like to be in a position in the not too distant future to bring some suggestions forward to the bigger group and start some discussion and start engaging the broader group on some of our ideas.
That sounds great. And Abigail, I'm also your liaison, so I will be checking in with you guys, and you know, we can definitely discuss how we're moving forward. So
I think we would like to do that before we bring anything to the bigger group.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good. Okay. Wonderful. And then we'll use some time then for the RFP group to talk. I might ask that you come closer, you know, and yeah. You want to come up.
And let me say while she's coming up, please. This is how we would like it to work. You just give us a status of, you know, what's going on. It doesn't have to be super formal. Sometimes it might be just because of what you want, also allow an opportunity for someone from a different committee to just chime in with a question or response, but they have to be short responses. But we want to make sure we're all working with the subgroups, and then they're also accepting, and then we're also giving input to help move the needle forward.
No, you're okay. Fine. I know I'm quiet, so it helps if I'm close to the microphone. So our subcommittee, I'm Megan Cascatello, Liz, Cindy, Chris, and Stacy, and I met on the 22nd. We discussed obtaining Village of River Forest RFP examples and examples of substantively similar DEI RFPs from Brian Murphy. So he's working on that right now, and I'll touch base with him sometime soon. I know he hasn't quite left for vacation, so maybe we can see something before that. We looked at the benefits of an RFP, which is a request for proposals, versus an RFQ, which is a request for qualifications. And we walked through what the two different processes are, and just weighed what might be more beneficial in our situation, but we didn't come to any conclusion. We talked about how to reach a diverse audience of potential respondents and how we generally seek respondents for RFPs. And we talked about what might be the characteristics of a successful RFP look like. So what should the RFP look like in order to garner the most qualified respondents? So then we also discussed the priorities for the RFP, the less technical and more content focused things. So we decided initially that the initial RFP is proposed to be targeted towards the assessment that's outlined in our guiding document. So we reached out to the chairs to be put on the agenda, and that's the other thing in our minutes, to make sure that we were bringing the assessment priorities back to you guys so that you had an opportunity to connect with us around things you might want to see in that RFP. So we aren't siloing it out with just the five of us, but we're reaching back out to the bigger group to make sure that we're collecting the pieces that you want to see within the RFP. And so the discussion that we should have, which is item C on our agenda, is that the subcommittee is planning on targeting an assessment, which is laid out in our guiding documents. And I pulled out the sections of the guiding document that talk about the assessment. I'll read them to you so that you don't have to go digging for our initial work. That's just basically due to our budget. So we thought this is a tangible piece that we think we can get started with on the budget that we currently have, with an opportunity to expand the work into other elements like the work plan that's discussed, building DEI knowledge among employees and stakeholders, reviewing village operations and ordinances, creating equity impact tools. So in terms of assessment, where it's mentioned in our guiding document is one, under the initial goals, it says the review will assess the village, its department, and their practices, policies, systems, and structures to provide an equity analysis and identify potential and intended consequences. And it's discussed again under responsibilities, where it says, assess the village as a municipal organization to provide an equity analysis of its practices, policies, systems, and structures to identify potential unintended consequences, which includes the following. Draft an RFP, select and engage a consultant to conduct the assessment. The scope of services for this assessment may include, but is not limited to, the review of current and future ordinances and resolutions to assess equity implications and find opportunities to minimize systemic disadvantages, as well as a review of vendor relationships, hiring and firing practices, and budgets to assess equity implications and impact. So what we want to know is what, if any, priorities each of the subgroups would like to see assessed. So in thinking about the assessment, are there topics or areas that your group feels would benefit from being included in the RFP? So I know it's a big kind of technical question.
Well, I'll just, because we're doing employment and HR, one of the things that we've talked about is unconscious bias. How is that like, and again, we haven't gotten information back from, so this is just us sort of riffing. We want to make sure that by reviewing the patterns, right, of hiring and firing or whatever, that it, there isn't some unconscious bias that, that is happening.
Okay. So you'd like to see unconscious bias in patterns of hiring and firing, or in patterns of employment?
Yeah. With the idea that one of the resources we have for equity is a job, right? And that's a way that we can build equity with that resource. So I don't know, there's some intentionality around hiring with that per se, but I think we were thinking, Richard and I were thinking, when we see the policies, they're gonna look great. They're going to say all the things that we expect them to say, and it's really how it gets practiced, and seeing if there's anything under there that is just missing in the day to day.
Yeah, that's a really good point, I think that's great for this assessment too. I do encourage everybody, as they're looking at what our policies and processes are, to look at, I think, John, you mentioned it, right? That you're looking at what other towns are doing, right? Like, maybe there are articles across the nation, right, of people doing really interesting stuff, or different, or, you know, a little bit more cutting edge, right? So, and then maybe thinking about if those are things to incorporate here. I love that. So other groups or people for things, and I think we have several minutes to discuss this, but also because it is a new question, if you want to think it through and then maybe, you know, the next time we're together, talk about it some more, that's fair
and
too.
If you can bring it to your groups, that would be great, so we can kind of hash it out together. So we want the full participation of this committee so that your views are represented as we write the RFP.
So would you want to wait till next meeting? Would you want to take our emails, or?
I think if there are any other initial thoughts.
I'm happy to take them in whatever form, email, in the next meeting, now.
Go ahead.
I have a question of perspective. I'm not clear how what Renee was saying was that we were thinking if anybody's writing a policy, they should be doing it so that it passes muster. And are the people following the policy passing muster when they're doing it? And who is deciding what muster is? A lot of people look at what's going on from a different perspective. We've seen that throughout this discussion. How do we get at that? Renee and I are not all that far apart as far as perspective. I'm not sure how to understand. How to get inclusion of perspectives, I guess.
I think part of it, and this is a good question for everyone, so the question is, how do we get different perspectives? I think what you're saying is, this is an interesting topic. I really want to work on this topic. You know, this isn't something that's important to me, but I don't have the end all be all of answers. And so how do I go about making sure that we're getting different perspectives? And I think some of that is you all beginning to become a little bit of subject matter experts, and also seeking out subject matter experts, right? So for you all, like the first thing that comes to my mind, that's not the only thing, but like going on LinkedIn and seeing if there are, you know, articles about interesting stuff that's happening in the HR, you know, industry right now around DEI. But also there might be people in town who can help you as well. We've got such a amazing pool of people here in River Forest who do so much of this kind of work. And so that's helpful too. And then especially for employment and HR, I am willing to bet that Lisa might have some additional resources for you.
And I think you're doing the right thing by talking to the RFP committee about when we select somebody, we will need them to help us find that muster, or who's doing what and why. We can help get them to where we think that we need to go, and then they help us cross the finish line together. So that was a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you made the comment about LinkedIn, I get Crane Chicago Business. I don't usually read it. I'm busy. I kind of read the headlines. But they have had a lot of material on DEI. Over the last year, it's been just, they have DEI superstars. They have, all these it's been a lot of information. I've had what different companies in Chicago are doing about their DEI, just all sorts of stuff. So I just thought of that when you mentioned LinkedIn, and probably we could look at that. Use some of that information. But my question that I was going to ask in response, or my comment in response to your question, is just about the overall perspective or the ideas that are informing the approach, not necessarily the theory, but anyway. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there's this woman, Chloe Valdery. I don't know if you guys have heard of her, but she, how do you spell that? Chloe, Chloe, and Valdery is Valdary. And I heard a few podcasts with her, and I must have, searched DEI podcasts, as I joined the group to learn a bunch of stuff. And she has created this thing that I think she calls Theory of Enchantment. And something that she said, I remember from one of those podcasts, which is also something Rashida said tonight, about not calling people out, but calling them in. And so I just was hoping, and I haven't studied DEI, the field and, or learned about the history, but I did get the feeling from listening to Chloe that there were some companies, out there, like maybe some consultants like Rashida's company, DEI experts, who were going to some companies like whoever is Nike or whoever, and if they have an approach that has some flaws in the theory of the approach, and sometimes they even get it even backfires.
Yeah.
And so Chloe Valdery seemed really practical, and she has an interesting background. She's African American, but I think she was either Jewish, or she's just got perspectives from all over the place, and studied this stuff and probably worked within companies and then started her own. So I was just hoping that her type of approach could be considered. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rashida sort of lines up with that from what I saw tonight.
So, very interesting. Yes. And I definitely agree with your sentiment that I think that I've heard from other municipalities and other organizations where they try to do this, and it's the way they go about doing it is more harmful to the people and the organization than helpful. And so it is one of the reasons why we slowly are understanding what this looks like and what this is about. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Any final comments?
I do
guys all have really good ideas in your head and sometimes just keep them there. So it helps sort of build other ideas and ways of approaching it. So you would kind of be
I think in a perfect world, each committee would have at least one sentence for that group.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it now, but you know, for housing, we need to think about this as it relates to the IRP. For you know, governmental, for governance, you know.
Yeah. There's no wrong answer or silly answer. Nothing could like spark something else, or just leads kind of like, oh, that's something that you'll need to make sure that we cover that maybe otherwise. That's what it means.
Yeah.
And if you think of something later, email the chairs and then they'll make sure it gets us so that we can report it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Megan, that if you think of something in the next couple of weeks and you want to email us at deiagchair@brf.us, please go ahead and do that. I'm guessing. I'm not entirely sure, right, but I'm guessing for them, to Ken's point, I just want to expound on that, that it might be one sentence and then maybe even fleshed out a little bit more than that. But, you know, sort of just thinking about that. And Chris, I did see your hand.
Yeah. Is it possible if we're sending meeting minutes to Elijah, is it possible for those meeting minutes from the subcommittees to be given to us as part of the packet in preparation for tonight's meeting or the next meeting, so we're not hearing about the subcommittee's work for the first time when someone summarizes it to the group?
I think so. Elijah, how do you
feel? Yeah. So before, since we do meet the second half of the month, the subcommittees meet, so all the minute drafts are going to be in the packet for each individual group as well too.
Okay, so thank you for that. Thank you for that suggestion.
Because we're not going to be voting on the minutes in the first meeting of the month, we do that on the second meeting of the month when the subcommittees meet. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, I thought the minutes we sent of our subcommittee meeting, we'll call it that, to you.
Right. So
I'm wondering if the other subcommittees are sending you those meeting minutes. Can we get those in the packet for the next meeting? They're going to discuss those.
Yeah. So the Friday before the next meeting, when I release the packet, you're going to be able to see everybody else's minutes that they did. So,
okay. Yeah. I think that would be helpful.
I think that's a really good idea. And Elijah, I think I picked up on what you were saying, but just to clarify, so for if they were meeting in the last meeting, right, in the last meeting we had, took notes, sent them to you, and then coming into this meeting, having those as part of the agenda packet, maybe even if we don't vote on it in this one, but maybe there are just the draft minutes for people to see. Is that fair, do you think?
So you would like me to include them in?
Yeah, I'm not looking to vote on anything, but okay. Just because we're going to have a subcommittee.
That's not going to take
3 minutes to say what we've done. Great. We see what they've submitted to Elijah ahead of time.
I love that.
That's a good idea.
So for example, for the meetings for this, or sorry, the minutes for this meeting, we'll vote in a month, right? Because, well,
March 22nd.
I mean, because when, so let's say the next meeting is when we're doing the subcommittee, right?
Yeah.
And so, for example, our subcommittee may meet somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which I guess also means that we have to talk about the agenda, like when Elijah makes the agenda for the next meeting, it might have these little sub-agendas as well, you know, for the subcommittees.
I don't necessarily think so. I think probably we will just have it listed as subcommittee work,
okay,
so that everybody knows that it's subcommittee stuff, just to try to keep it not as onerous to go through, right?
Uh-huh.
And I believe, I could be wrong, I've been known to be wrong in the past, but I think the meeting minutes for this, it's always 2 weeks, I believe. So I think the meeting minutes for this meeting we'll vote on at the next one. The meeting minutes for the next one we'll vote in on 2 weeks from now. We can check that, but I believe that's how it goes. And to your question about when you meet with outside of the space that we allot, I think there is some time frame, and you all have the instructions for when you have to provide that to Elijah. Mm-hmm. And so I think it probably will just be what Elijah has by the time that he is sending out the agenda, right, for this meeting. Mm-hmm. So if he sends up the agenda on Friday or Saturday, and you all meet on Sunday and maybe you send it to him right away, it probably will not get into that set of meeting notes, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the one for your one for this space would. Now it's a lot of
yeah. Yeah, it might be easier for us just to meet here.
It could be.
Instead of having it open, because it does seem to open up all sorts of cans of worms.
It could be, but it may just make sense for people's time too. Mm-hmm. So we're leaving it. We want to give you all the options, right?
Could you remind me of what you said earlier? This meeting, the Monday, first Monday of the month meeting,
yeah,
is going to be half training, and the other half is
the report. Readout of the subcommittee meetings or of the subcommittee groups.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Chris.
Chris's point for that, if that's the meeting and Elijah already has the notes, it would be best to have those notes given to us before that first Monday meeting.
Yes, and so I think it is a hard discussion to follow for sure. I think that that's where we are in agreement on. I know it's a lot. I think that's where we're in agreement on. If meetings happen to happen in a rate where he doesn't get the notes before that agenda goes out, then they just won't be in that packet for that week. Yes, Bob.
Seven tomorrow each is causing something very focused.
Yeah.
Each so far has submitted notes. But at a given point, we are going to be expected to create a motion for this whole group to vote on each.
Yes, so.
And that's the only way anything gets out of here as an action.
As a recommendation, yeah, yeah, for sure. So Bob's question is, so each of the groups are doing their own work and it's very focused. But at some point, we will be discussing what one group or another is doing to reach consensus amongst the whole group. And there might be a vote on that work or those ideas to bring forward as a next step for you all or to bring forward to the village board. But yes, good question. Anything else? Confirmation of the next meeting dates. I am scared to do that because I messed it up last time.
Yeah, the calendar is the 19th. That will be the
okay.
Third Tuesday.
Thank you so much, Elijah. Yeah. So, April 19th. And as always, just make sure there are signs all over the place, but just make sure that this, whether this is the right word. Well, with that, can I get a motion to close the meeting, Bob?
Oh, 1 second. There
you go. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Have a good evening, y'all. Thank you so much.